Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. In our Old Testament lesson for today, God declares that he is Jehovah, Yahweh. He is the great I Am. And he prophesies. He is the very one that stretched out the heavens. Whether that would indicate why scientists believe that the universe is expanding or not, God is the one that created all of it, the entirety of creation, within 6 natural days, less than 10,000 years ago. This is the God who prophesied, the God who created heaven and earth, who sent forth his Son and knit you together in your own mother's womb. He is the God that still takes care of you to this day and to the future days. In his righteousness, he holds your hand. He does not allow you to slip. He is the light to the Gentiles. He opens the blind eyes. He removes prisoners from their prison of sin, death, and the devil. And he shines light in the darkness. He is Jehovah. That is his name, and his glory he will not give to another. He does not rejoice when we celebrate false gods. He does not rejoice when we choose to worship them instead. But he rejoices to hear you and me, wretches though we are apart from him, to call upon him. That is the God that we worship. That is the God that we adore because of his great love and compassion to us. Jesus is now 12 years old in his flesh, and he, with his parents, have gone down to Jerusalem. They were faithful in their religious worship. And so when the time of Passover came, everyone went down to Jerusalem. They made that trek with their families, with the people of their township, because they viewed these people as family and friends. Sure, there might have been disagreements, but they viewed them in love. They were all waiting for the same thing, after all. They were waiting for the time of their salvation. This boy, at the age of 12, Mary and Joseph knew would be that salvation. While they might not have known exactly how he would carry that out, they had faith because God had sent angels to proclaim it to them. At 12 years old, already, Jesus is enamored with the Word of God, which makes sense, being the very Word incarnate. He loves it. He is devoted to it. And when it is time to leave, he finds himself still sitting in the temple, still learning, still listening, still rejoicing, still asking questions. If you've ever dealt with children or if you've had children, you know that children have lots of questions. Sometimes it's the same question over and over and over again. Sometimes it's why, why, why? But when you get to the heart of it, they are inquisitive. They want to know more. Things that we take for granted, things that we've known for, it feels like forever, these are new to them. They are slow. They stop because the world is new. Yes, a part of that is their original sin, that nature that just doesn't want to listen. But the joy of hearing what God has done. When you leave church today, will you look at your watch and say, boy, there it was again, another hour and a half? Or will you rejoice because you spent an hour and a half in God's Word? hearing of what Jesus had done for you, singing hymns of praise to the only God, the only source of salvation? Will you rejoice that you had another opportunity to receive the body and blood of Jesus for the forgiveness of your sins? When we take time in February and March to watch The Chosen and dig into the scriptures and see how that show sometimes gets it right, sometimes gets it wrong, but another opportunity for fellowship to dig into God's word, will we be annoyed at that as an opportunity to be in his word with our brothers and sisters in Christ? Because by golly, Pastor already took so much of my Sunday morning. Or do we rejoice? Jesus gives us the example. Jesus shows us the importance of being about our Father's business. Sunday is not just another day for you to sleep in. Sunday is the Lord's Day, the day on which we remember our Lord's resurrection, that the prison house of the grave could not hold him, that hell could not hold him, that the Satan had no power over him. That's why we gather on Sundays. We should devote more, not less, time. We should not grumble at the fact that we get to be with these beautiful people who celebrate the King, who worship with us, who rejoice with us, and who also will mourn with us. These are the faces that when you lose that loved one, hopefully they will be there to share that grace and that gospel of Jesus Christ, that death cannot contain your loved one. Jesus was about his Father's business. We are adopted sons of God by his grace and his mercy. We too should be about our Father's business. When we look at our epistle lesson for today, we see the importance of living like Christians. Yes, we acknowledge that we are still sinners, but we acknowledge that Jesus Christ has saved us from our sins. We know that our good works cannot save us, that only faith worked by the Holy Spirit in us of what the greatest work is, the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, can save us. But in that knowledge, we move forward. God has created us for those good works, and our good works shine the light of Jesus Christ in the darkness of this world. So when St. Paul writes to the Romans, inspired by the Holy Spirit, he is also talking to us. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Christian does not grumble at spending time in worship. The Christian does not grumble at having the opportunity to hear more about what Jesus has done. The unbelieving world does those sorts of things. If you can spend 3+ hours watching your favorite sports ball team blow a lead that they never should have lost in the first place, you can spend time in church. Yes, the unbelieving world chases after all these things. Those are the gods they worship. When you realize that the sports ball, whatever it is, can be an idol, it is a focus of worship. Now, maybe they don't call out to it and pray to it, but where their devotion lies is where their God is. That is not to be you. Can you enjoy those things? Yes, but not at the expense of your worship. Not at the expense of your devotion. If you can spend 3 hours in front of a screen or in a cold bench made out of metal, week after week after week, you can spend time on a wooden pew where it's warm, the beauty of the lights and the reflection of Jesus Christ. We do not live like the unbelieving world. We are not to be conformed to it. Rather, you are a living sacrifice. The animals of the Old Testament were sacrificed. They were slain that their blood may sprinkle the altar. You are a living sacrifice. The days that you devote yourself to prayer, the days that you devote yourself to reading your scriptures, the days where you devote yourself to living out your vocations. Fathers, if you are a Christian, your life is not about you. Your life is about Jesus. He is your head. You submit to him. This is true of you husbands. You are to rule over your wife in love, as Christ loves his church, being willing to lay down your life, your wants, your desires, to make sure that her needs are cared for. You are to take the time to lead. You are to take the time to read the scriptures to them, to pray with and for them, even when you're exhausted from a long week of work. This is the life of a Christian. You don't get to just tap out. You don't get to come home and stare at a woman who is not your wife. This is not what God has called you to do. Yes, it is what the unbelieving world does, but you are not them. You have the light of Christ living in you. And to you ladies, now that I've put the men where they need to be, you are to love your husbands. If God has granted you the gift of a husband, you are to love him. You are to submit to him as the church submits to Christ, even when he's acting a fool. You are to redirect him, to show him, to pray for him, to love him through those misconceptions. Be like Jimmy Stewart's wife in It's a Wonderful Life. Love him through his failures. Be there for him, support him, show him that you are the heart of his home, that you are there for him and his children. Our world considers these things and views them as unimportant. You are somehow less important if your devotion is to caring for the future of the generations, for the future of society. You are somehow viewed as less important by keeping children alive. Can you imagine how despicable that lie of the devil really is? To be told that you are less than if you devote your life to caring for others in this way? That's not from God. That's from the devil. We should not be conformed to the unbelieving world, but we should be transformed by the grace that God shows us. How do we direct our days? You will leave here today on the start of your week in faith. You will leave here today being fed and nourished. Yes, you will be reminded of your sins, but more importantly, you will be reminded of what Jesus Christ has done for you. And because he has done that for you, you can now live your life not for yourselves, but for him. What a joy that truly is. If you have children, devote them to the Lord. If you have children, love them as eternal treasures granted to you by God to glorify him. You've heard me say, and I will say again, all the things that we have in this life, the clothes that you're wearing, the vehicle you came here in, the house that you're going to go home to, or the restaurant that you're going to go to brunch to, all of those things will pass away. But your children, God has made eternally. Your role as father and mother is not to get them on the elitist sports ball team. Your job is not to get them into the most elite university. Your job is to raise them in faith. Every decision that you make either hurts that or helps that. If we devote so much of our time to being away, are we showing them Jesus? If we make sure that we bring them to church and Sunday school on Sunday, but then never spend another minute in these things, and then place them in a place for 7 hours, 5 days a week, where they are taught out of the faith, is this what God truly desires? These are hard things, and we have to wrestle through them. Because the easy things are the ways of the world. Your salvation is easy for you. Jesus Christ has done it all. Thanks be to God. But now that you are a Christian, your life is not the comfort that the world gives. Your life is the comfort that at the end of this life, on that day, if you survive in the faith, that he will look at you and he will declare that you are righteous. He will declare, you will spend the rest of eternity with me. No more pain, no more suffering. To live for the world means an eternity of despair, of punishment, of destruction. What is a few days of hardship compared to an eternity of it? Follow Jesus. Follow his example. Follow what he has done for you. Pick up your cross and follow him. It would have been easier for you young moms with babies in your arms to just stay at home. It would have been easier for you not to train your children to sit beside you week after week as people look at you and complain about you. It would be easier to do all those things, but your children need to be where they are. They need to hear. Yes, they need training. They need to learn how to sit with you, how to sing with you, and they will. Train them. It's not easy, this life as a Christian, but for eternity, it is blessed. The church sings. O ye heights of heaven, adore him. Angel hosts, his praises sing. Powers, dominions, bow before him and extol our God and King. Let no tongue on earth be silent, every voice in concert ring, evermore and evermore. Amen. The peace of God that passeth all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus.